I always say that companies need to simplify. I think that simplicity scales. And when you focus on a product that you want to do really well, that's the key to success. So greens have become our hero SKU, our best-selling product. It comes in mango, berry, coconut, citrus, and original.
I'm Tom Ward, and over the last couple years, I've had the chance to sit down with some of the biggest celebrities and influencers in the world. What I've always found most fascinating is the stories of the businesses that they've built behind the scenes. On this show, you'll get an inside look of what it takes to build a successful business from some of the biggest celebrities, business people, and up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the world. This is the Tom Ward Show. Hey guys, welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the biggest entrepreneurs in the world. And today we've got such an entrepreneur. We've got Mari Llewellyn, founder of Bloom Nutrition, just, you know, general all around kind of bad businesswoman in life. It's funny, I do a lot of research for this and I know your whole kind of backstory, but if I didn't know that and I just passed you on the street, I would immediately just be like, you know, she looks amazing. It's probably just her genes. She probably doesn't have to work that hard at it. Maybe she has a fast metabolism. Mm. And that wasn't the case at all. And how did you weigh 250 pounds? Like, I can't even imagine it.
I think that is what surprises a lot of people about me. I don't think I have, I don't know what people expect me to look like, but I think that's kind of a good message for everyone. You kind of never know what someone's been through. Why did I weigh 250 pounds? So a lot of reasons.
Sure.
Mental health was not in a good place. I didn't really have any self-love or self-worth. I didn't really care about what I was putting into my body. I didn't really take care of my body or my mind. And I had just been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's not bipolar. It's not multiple personality disorder. It's basically a disorder that comes from trauma in childhood, and it affects your identity, interpersonal relationships, mood swings, and it can really take over your whole life if it's not managed correctly. So I was diagnosed later in life and put on a lot of medication.
How old were you when you got diagnosed?
I was diagnosed, I want to say I was 21, 22.
Because I'm bipolar too, so I can relate to your struggle. But that came, I think a lot of mental illnesses kind of pop up during, you know, teenage years, high school. Did you notice something was off then? Or did it not click until you were in your 20s?
It was kind of like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. I think I always knew I was a highly sensitive individual. I grew up in a pretty tumultuous household, very high emotions, a lot of like yelling, fighting. And during that time, I was kind of just super emotional and scared of what was going on. And then as I got older, I kind of got angrier, I would say, and kind of rebelled against my household. So I was discovering drinking and partying and, you know, boys and friends and kind of filling that void I'd always had. So as I got older and I got to college, that's where things kind of hit the fan for me, because it was my first time being in relationships and going out, and things were getting kind of exposed, I would say. So I had a feeling, but I was also very shy back then. So things really started to come to a head when I was 21, 22. I had my first experience with self-harm, and that's where it was like, oh, shoot, like something's really wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Here. And I was with my now husband, Greg, at the time. This was like seven years ago. And he was like, you know, I think you should go and see someone, because he was terrified, because he'd never experienced anyone who had, you know, cut before, which is what I was doing.
Yeah, of course.
And I went to see a psychologist, and she pretty much immediately put me on antidepressants, anti-anxieties, mood stabilizers, all of it at once.
Okay, that's a lot. Okay.
I got loaded up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't tell you, I mean, at least I wasn't told, one, what is the long-term plan with this medication? When are you going to come off of it? How long are we on it? to the fact that you can't drink on medication like this, which I continued to do.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, why
right?
not? Sure.
I was in college.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was blacking out
for
every time I drank.
Oh, wow.
And then also just trying all of it at once, you don't have any sense of what's working and what isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So I completely lost my grip on reality during that time. And then the weight gain happened.
Did it happen because of the medication, or did you always have like, you know, weight issues kind of growing up?
I didn't have weight issues growing up. It really started to happen around this time, you know, from drinking, mm-hmm. I would say the medication as well.
That's a big side effect with a lot of them. Yeah.
Right. And then I was just eating crap. Like I was eating super low quality food, a lot of sugar, which does not help with a mood disorder.
Well, just on that real quick, because I suffer from the same thing. For me, like diet and exercise are almost as important as medication for me.
Oh
like
my God. Yeah.
It is like a medication to me, you know, in some aspects. Like if I don't know if it's the endorphins or how you feel or getting the sweat. I don't know what it is. Like I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But yeah. And if I'm eating a lot of sugar and crap, like I feel it and it does affect my mood in a major way.
Right. Like if you think about, you know, I used to start my day with an iced coffee with milk and sugar, like this big. Imagine like the ups and the downs.
Oh,
like,
for sure. I used to do Mountain Dews, straight up sugar Mountain Dews, like the big 1 liter bottle in college. I could picture myself just chugging them all day.
I look back and cringe so hard at the things I used to eat because also the alcohol, like what?
Oh, yeah.
Everything combined was like the recipe for a disaster, particularly with BPD.
Well, you know what I was going to ask? Pause on that, right? So shout out to Greg. Greg, wherever you are, you know, congratulations on all your success. Why would Greg stay with you? That's what I'm thinking in my mind as I'm hearing the story, as I'm doing my research. I go, but he must have really loved her. Like, because if you're early on dating and you see all of this going on, it's like,
yeah.
You know, where's the exit? Like, let me get out of here.
So he didn't stay with me.
Oh, he didn't.
100% of the time.
Oh, okay.
Right around this period of time when I was losing my mind.
Yeah, sure.
He did leave for about a year.
Oh, okay.
And that was a really tough period of time, but I was barely able to take care of myself, let alone a relationship.
Yep.
So of course, like it made sense, but it was obviously super painful for both of us. And he left for a year. And during that time, I was in my last semester of college. I ended up dropping out because
oh, wow.
I was failing every class, moving home. And I had zero. I look back on that time and I have very little memories, to be honest, because it kind of just feels like a black hole.
It was just so dark.
So dark.
Yep, I've been there.
I was on the medication. I didn't have a grip on reality. I wasn't really aware of what was happening. And they say with trauma, when you're in that fight or flight mode, you don't retain a lot of memories.
Oh, wow.
So I have a lot of black holes during that period of time. But I moved home and pretty much cold turkey came off the medication, which is not something I'm recommending to anyone.
Yeah.
Because
by the way, you have to do this, Clint. We're not doctors. We're not psychiatrists or psychologists. Okay, just saying that. But yeah.
Yeah, not doctors, but...
But I've come off meds too. Yeah, and cold turkey, it's no joke.
Oh, it's no joke.
Depending on what the medication is. But just on that real quick. So you're going through all these issues.
Yeah.
And you came from kind of a traumatic upbringing and a, you know, house where there's chaos and yelling and all this. So you've got all this going on and then you go back to that environment?
Yeah.
How did that help? How did that work?
So at this point, my mom was no longer living with my dad. So
okay.
She had moved out and it was just my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and picked me up from college, which was super embarrassing because I was at my lowest point. Like my apartment was a disaster. My life was a disaster. I was a disaster. So it was embarrassing for sure. And I think, you know, my parents are both... They have their own thing going on. My dad works for the United Nations. He's always traveling. So I was living with him, but kind of like independently, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I was still...
Like he's in and out
yeah.
all the time.
But he did the best he could to help me with, you know, what I was going through. And at that point, when I came off the medication, I was kind of just trying to survive at that point. And you know, when you detox from this type of medication, weird things come up. Like, I suddenly was shoplifting. Which is so...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
No, it is funny now.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time, it was like, where is this coming from?
Was
like,
that on the side effect list on the medication? You know, side effects, shoplifting?
I found out the other week that that is a side effect.
Get out of here.
Of coming off the medication.
I was just joking around.
No, seriously. A lot of women have experienced... when they detox from this particular medication, that they'll start shoplifting.
What?
I know, and I never knew where it came from because I'm not, that is not my character at all. And now I look back and I feel horrible. But I went through the shoplifting phase and I got caught and I was pulled into an office.
Oh my God.
It was bad. It was
during this low point, then you throw that on top of it?
I know. It was honestly anything that made me feel better in the moment.
Yeah.
Like that was the type of person I was. I would look for short-term happiness.
Of course.
Drinking, shoplifting, eating, reckless behavior, whatever it was, anything to numb the pain I felt.
What was the overall, it's hard to, for me, like I go to therapy once a week, I still do. And for me, like I have to journal because it's not easy for me to remember how I was feeling last Wednesday.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So unless I write it and read it, I'll go, oh yeah, I was really pissed off that morning or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you do the same type of thing? Like, is that how you track like your emotions or how do you deal with them now?
If you looked at my notes app, you'd be like, what is going on with this girl? Because yeah. I do. I have to keep track of, okay, I had this conversation that upset me. I felt like I didn't handle this well. I want to talk about this. I do therapy twice a week.
Oh, nice.
Freaking love it.
Why are you showing off? I just do once. You're trying to make me
I'm not that? Showing off, but it is so helpful.
For sure.
It's so helpful to talk through everything you're dealing with a professional and kind of have that unbiased feedback. And I've managed to find a therapist who also has BPD.
Oh, wow.
And has been through a very similar situation to me.
Wow.
So it's nice to talk to someone who I feel like really gets it, you know?
Oh, the journaling, I kind of got sidetracked for a second, but I guess what I really wanted to know is if you could look back, I know it's a hard thing to remember, but what was the general overall feeling you had inside most days? What was it? Like, how did you feel about yourself, about, you know, can you even remember? Or just it was just a pain and just a hole?
I would say I had a lot of self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
I could barely look at myself in the mirror. Like, when I go back on that time, I have no photos of myself at all because I didn't want to be on camera. I couldn't look in the mirror. Super disappointed in myself because I didn't keep my own promises. Like, I didn't show up for myself. I feel very detached, honestly, from who I was back then to now. I feel like a completely different human.
Well, you are.
I know. But I try to kind of bridge the gap because it's, you know, we're working on that in therapy. It's difficult to heal that part of me if I can't connect.
Sure.
When in my head, it's literally a different person. But I look back then and I was just in such a deep pain constantly. And I'm honestly shocked that I made it through that, to be honest.
You know, and hats off to you. You know, you did. Was there, I'm trying to figure out, where was the rock bottom? You know, it's like, because it's in your story, like just listening to you right now, it's like, this happened. And I'm like, oh, that's probably rock bottom. It's like, no, but then I got busted shoplifting. And it's like, when does it end? When does the free fall end? Like, what was your rock bottom where you finally turned it around? You know, where was it for you? Was it a single moment or was it just something you woke up one day and you just, I've had enough?
Like, it was a culmination of everything. It was this feeling that like I had dropped out of school and gained all this weight and my health was in a bad place. My mental health was in a bad place. My relationships were ruined. I had no friendships at that point. You know, I was living at home. I kind of just had this, and I think coming off the meds and slowly getting back in reality, I was like, where is my life at right now? Oh my gosh, like, what have I done? Type of feeling. Mm-hmm. And kind of having this realization that, you know, I hit rock bottom and no one was there to kind of save me. Because at the end of the day, there is no safety net. And I think that was my biggest realization, because when you're kind of bobbing along, living life below your full potential, you kind of just think, oh, someone will come and save me at some point. Like something will turn around. Like you kind of just hope for the best.
Yep.
And I had this realization where it was like, oh, no, I have to do something about this. Like I am the only person that can fix this situation. And if I want to ever have a life that's worth living, I need to start now.
Yeah.
So I would say that was really the moment.
You know, I'm sober now. I had issues with drugs and alcohol too. My story's a mess too. Like I could totally.
I need to hear
it. Yeah. We'll talk later.
You have to come on my show.
Yeah, I'll come on your show. We'll talk about it. But you know, I've had my issues with drugs and alcohol too. And you know, story's a mess. And we'll talk later about it too. But kind of what you just said, and I deal with this all the time when people ask me for help. People will come to me all the time for, you know, issues with addiction or like health and fitness. And the more I've kind of been at this, the more I realize no one's going to do anything.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's so disheartening. But, you know, I early on wasted all this time and energy, like almost dictating and like spending all this time and energy and like, this is what you got to do. And if you want to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then time and time again, I would look and that person wouldn't change at all. And actually 99% of the people wouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, it's so frustrating because I wish there was just a magic pill. Like if, when I look at your story to go here, look where you are. You're back at home. You dropped out of school, like boom, go fix yourself.
Mm.
But do you find the same frustration? Like you're in the health and fitness game. You can't make anybody quote unquote get it. Can you?
No, you have to want it yourself at the end of the day. My husband and I talk about this a lot because we have a lot of people reach out and ask for advice on fitness, on business or whatever it may be.
Yep.
As you just said, 99% of them don't do anything that we tell them.
And that's not a pessimistic attitude. It's, no. I want to be optimistic, but that's reality though.
I think when someone realizes what their why is and what their overall purpose is and they go after it for that reason, it's so much more powerful than telling them to do it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because that will only last so long. I know for me, you know, I was dating Greg, who's a bodybuilder and had all of his meals in Tupperware and was going to the gym twice a day. I didn't care. It didn't affect me because I was like, oh, that's not for me.
Yep.
And he never tried to actually convince me.
That is what I like about Greg. So yeah. I'm reading the story and I go, you know, I got a picture of him in my mind kind of based on the interviews you're doing and the articles I'm reading and stuff. I'm like, okay, so here's a guy. He's a bodybuilder. I know this guy. I'm friends with this guy, right? Chicken and rice 5 times a day, watching their macros. I know that person, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's with you who's going through all these things and is kind of living like the exact opposite lifestyle that he's into.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like he was trying to change you or push you or make you feel bad about yourself and force you to kind of live his lifestyle. Like, what? That's a pretty amazing guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've asked him why, because I've been curious.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were him, I would have tried.
Me too.
And he was like, you know, he was used to being the odd one out. He was like, I'm used to being the anomaly. So at college, everyone was going out every night and eating like trash. And he was at home cooking. He was like, I never thought anyone would ever be interested in joining me on this. And he also said he was used to people asking for advice and never taking it.
Ah.
So it was always just his thing. He's very individual with his fitness journey. And I think bodybuilding means more to him than I could ever really imagine. It's kind of been there for him since he was like in eighth grade. So it's kind of a coping mechanism for him. And I don't feel like he felt the need to put it on me because it was always his thing. But then once I showed interest, it was like he was my person.
So now let's go on the journey upwards now. So, you know, you kind of want to make a change in your life. You're starting from zero, literally, right?
Yeah.
And then I read you just started. This is great advice for somebody watching, you know, you, if you want to lose weight and you're kind of in a similar spot. I read you just started walking your dog.
Yeah.
Was that the first step? Like,
well, yeah, because I was coming from a super unhealthy routine where I wasn't moving my body much at all.
So you're not going to go to circuit training classes.
No. And I was scared to go to the gym. Like, the gym was a scary place for me. I didn't know how to use the equipment.
It is.
People there looked super fit. Yep. I was intimidated. So I said, okay, let me just go on more brisk, frequent walks with my dog. And then the diet was the first thing that I really wanted to change. And I pretty much imitated, this is pretty funny, I imitated Greg's meal to start. And
what do you eat, like 200 grams of protein a day or
something? So keep in mind, Greg is 210 pounds of like lean muscle.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, let me start with breakfast. So I made, I think it was like a whole egg and like 5 egg whites and a bowl of oatmeal and blueberries. Like, this was a ginormous meal.
That's what I ate this morning, actually. Right, oatmeal and egg white right. omelet.
So I sent him a picture and I was like, oh my gosh, look, I'm so healthy. I'm on my shit right now. And he was like, oh wow, you know, maybe we don't need like quite as much food because you're not like a competing bodybuilder right now. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. But it, so it takes a minute, you know?
Of course.
But at least I wasn't eating 2 blueberry muffins and a dry nice coffee.
Yep.
So it was a better substitute, but I learned, okay, maybe I don't need a giant bowl of oatmeal. Maybe it's half a cup with a couple blueberries. Maybe it's 2 to 3 eggs. Okay, maybe the oatmeal isn't working for me anymore. I'll do avocado. So I've really played around with my diet and found exactly what works for me.
Okay.
Diet was first.
Cleaning. Well, just on diet real quick, because you watching this, you're watching this for a reason, right? You're into health and fitness probably. So talk about, you know, you said you experiment. It's easy to say, like, I experimented with different things, and you had a great resource right next to you all the time, right? Who could, you know, who's done this through trials and tribulations, figured out kind of different plans. Do you recommend a certain, you know, meal plan? I don't call them diets because diets don't really work. You know, you can drop weight quick, but if you want to, you want something sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, so I call them like meal plans. I don't know what, I'm not in health and fitness. Is that the right word for it?
So I'm very big on diets being individualized. I think everyone is so different and everyone responds to things very differently. You know, if you want to go the ancestral route, we're all from very different places and benefit from different types of food.
So that's a good point.
For example, Greg really thrives on carbs, loves rice, loves oatmeal. That doesn't really make me feel as great. I have ups and downs and crashes and energy goes, you know, in and out. Mm-hmm. So I love healthy fats. That's always been my thing. So I generally will have a high healthy fat breakfast, a high healthy fat lunch, maybe like a protein snack. And then at dinner is when I will have my carbs, which actually helps me sleep. Apparently, serotonin is the precursor to melatonin. So having carbs at night can help with sleep sometimes.
Ooh, okay.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So I like to have sweet potato or a little bit of rice, something clean that I can digest easily. Mm-hmm. And then also I would say, this probably applies to everyone, whole foods. Like focusing on the non-processed stuff, like a piece of salmon, vegetables, you know, things that you can actually prepare yourself and don't come out of a package, I think is really important. But also just keeping in mind, everyone is so different.
That's a good point too. And the weight came off, like you lost 75 pounds in 9 months. Is that correct?
Yes. I will say it didn't just fall off. Like I had to work my butt off.
Yes. Was, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I wish it fell off, yeah, but it didn't. And I pretty much dedicated. And for me, it's interesting because I think a lot of people see my before and after and associate me with weight loss. But when I think about that time, it was very much a identity slash like personal development journey for me. I wanted to, you know, that girl I was telling you about who looked for short-term happiness and avoided challenge and ran away with every problem. I wanted to face everything head on and become the strongest version of myself that I've ever seen. So fitness to me is the perfect parallel to that. Every set, every rep, I was giving it my all, finishing all my reps, maybe doing an extra one. And that was kind of how I slowly trained myself to be a strong person inside and out.
And, you know, I was going to ask you too, and you pretty much answered my question. You know, you started out kind of weightlifting.
Yeah.
And I was wondering too, you know, you mentioned in several interviews and articles this hole you kind of felt inside yourself. And I was thinking, like, subconsciously, was she building like a protective armor around herself?
Would say yes.
Is that how you felt?
100%.
You know, when you started seeing the muscles and stuff develop and your body changing?
100%. I always felt like women with muscles were the coolest thing ever because that is like the best way to show work ethic on the outside of your body. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a woman with muscle takes so much effort. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for women to put on muscle. I think a lot of girls say they're scared of getting bulky. It's virtually impossible to get bulky. Mm-hmm. Like you would have to dedicate your life to getting bulky.
Yeah. That's a lot of work to get bulky.
Yes. I think it's very admirable, actually. But I always wanted muscle because I was like, if I want to become this strong, disciplined person who works hard, then I want to like show that. Like, I want to be that person. I want to embody a strong individual. So that was why weightlifting really appealed to me, and I still love it today.
You know, it's funny, but you know, I always think about this, like fashion. I think the best, like, you know, fashion accessory is a fit body.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at you now, it's like, okay, she's not wearing anything flashy, white shirt, tan pants, right? Cool New Balance, you know? There's nothing flashy, but, you know, if you compare yourself to the person then wearing a full, you know, $10,000 outfit, you'd probably take this version, right? The stuff on the outside could be bought. That bicep can't be bought.
Yeah.
So to me, there's something that extra. When I see that, like in a woman with muscles, just like you said, it's like, that proves something, or that tells me something about that person.
Yeah, and it tells you that they take care of themselves. Yeah. And I feel like whenever I do see someone who's fit, I feel gravitated to them because I feel like, oh, that person takes care of themselves. They have a routine. I think a lot of, you know, I've been married for a year now and I've been with Greg for 8 years. Thank you. But I know in the dating world, like, you want to kind of look for someone who has their own routine and takes care of their body and, you know, doesn't have to be weightlifting. It could be other things. But yeah, I do think it says a lot about a person.
So let's transition into business. Okay. This is, we're going to write an article for Forbes about this. So it's about time we get down to some business,
right? Let's do it.
So you post, well, let's talk about it. You post the body transformation pic on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it blows up.
Yeah.
But you were smart about it because it's easy to have, you know, people say now that everybody's going to go viral once in their life. And chances are, like, the odds are, yeah, if you're posting every day for your whole life, you're going to have one or two pictures or videos that are going to pop off, right? But you used it and created a little business for yourself at first. You made PDFs. I love this story. PDFs of your workout.
Yeah.
And people would pay you via PayPal. And then you would just email them the PDF file, right?
Yep.
So how did that come? Was your intention to use that and to try to monetize it? Or was it just people kept asking me what my workout was, so I figured I'd give it to them?
It was super organic. And I would say it's so crazy that I'm considered an entrepreneur now, because back then I had no interest in business.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had what it took to be an entrepreneur. It never came into my head. I just knew that that fitness journey completely changed my life. And I felt like I had a purpose. I felt like I had a why. I was like, okay, I want to help other women who are in the position I once was, you know, and that was my goal. So when I posted that transformation and it blew up the way it did, I suddenly had all these messages asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you do? You know, what was the nutrition plan? What was the workout plan?
Yeah.
And obviously I had Greg with me, and Greg is super, super entrepreneurial. Like, when you meet this guy, he was like born to be an entrepreneur. He's crazy. So with both of us combined, you know, I was obsessed with connecting with women, the community, spreading the message. And he was like a marketing genius even back then. Together, we were like, oh, we have something here.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to a Barnes & Noble and typed up the workout plan. I look back and I'm like, that thing needed some, it was a little ugly,
okay,
but there was some gold in there. Like, mm-hmm. It was really the whole plan that I followed on my whole weight loss journey. Now that has become an app called the Slay app. But back then it was these guides, and we had no idea how to have a website. So we would quite literally DM people on Instagram and be like, hey, if you want the workout plan, it's here. It's $5. We'll email it to you. And we were on the phone all day into
the
night.
That is a hustle.
It's a hustle. And
yeah,
honestly,
we
made a decent amount of money doing that.
Yeah.
And we did it for a while.
What kind of money were you making? I was curious about that too back then.
Greg could probably give
me. I mean, you got to sell a lot of $5 PDF files to
make some. We sold a lot.
To make some real money, right?
We sold a ton. And Greg could probably give you better numbers, but we were selling close to, like, once we got a website.
Okay.
And we were automated selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hundreds of thousands of guides.
Wow.
Which we saved all the money from that and put into resistance bands.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So you take all that, you got all this money, so that, you know, I'm not the smartest guy, right? But that sounds like hundreds of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. right? Right.
Which we came from zero.
Yeah. So now you got all this money, and it would have been real easy for you to kind of look at it like, and I think a lot of people would, it's like found money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the bonus you get at work at the end of the year. It's like,
yeah.
that's just fun money, right? I'm going to go buy clothes. I'm going to buy a couch. I'm going to buy a new car, whatever.
Yeah.
You could have easily dumped that and bought, you know, a couple nice cars and then had nothing, right?
Yeah.
But instead, you save that. And what was the plan? You mentioned, right, you get in the resistance bands. But what was the plan at the time? You see all this money accumulating in your bank account.
Yeah.
Was that well thought out, the resistance bands thing? Was there a thought that, hey, we need something bigger and we need a physical product? Like, tell me how you ended up at resistance bands.
So I think we kind of just realized that we had a formula. I think we realized that, okay, both of us are so passionate about fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us want this to be our career.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we've done here with the PDF guides, we got to keep this going. And it's not like we necessarily had a mapped out plan, like, resistance bands, supplements, whatever, you know, that was never the plan. It was just, let's keep doing what we love. I will keep speaking to the community and making content and sharing what I know. And behind the scenes, let's keep working our butts off and just try to make this work. So, and also make what I want to use, because I was a fan of other fitness influencers. I was very much in the social media scene. I wanted to create products that I wanted to use.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then, it was like 2017, the women's fitness market wasn't what it is now. There weren't all these like female supplements and female, you know, booty bands and hip thrusting is like, that's a common thing now.
Oh,
every
yeah.
girl's training their butt. But back yep. then it was still kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we need a nice fabric resistance band instead of these like shitty plastic ones everyone's using and they're flying off left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent months developing this booty band. We worked with a manufacturer in Pakistan, which now has an actual Mari wing, because we bought so many bands. We ended up buying machinery for them.
Get out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we still speak with them, actually. It's pretty crazy. But
wow.
we put all of our money into these bands. We got, okay, our initial launch was 900 bands, which sounds like nothing now, but back then it was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds a lot to me.
We filled my dad's house
okay.
with boxes of bands because I was still living at home.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, what are you doing?
And
like,
you're actually stuffing envelopes or packages and mailing them out yourself?
We hand packaged every band. I wrote a note in every band. We have customers who still have those bands.
Wow.
It was a grind. Like, we were packing and shipping for days.
Yeah.
And we sold out within 2 days. So we were like,
wow.
Whoa, okay, we need a warehouse. So we called around all these different warehouses.
Wow.
No one took us seriously because we were
Why?
Like, what, 23 years old. We were like, oh, we sell bands. We need somewhere to put them. And
yeah.
everyone was like, no, get out of here.
Now it's not a big deal, especially we're here in LA, right? A
right.
23-year-old on the street, you go, I don't know, maybe he's a YouTuber making $10 million a year. Like,
yep.
now it doesn't seem too odd.
That was not a thing back then.
No,
so
not then.
We got hung up on like 10 plus times.
Wow.
Finally found one out here in California who took our bands, and we sold 1 million booty bands back then.
Oh my God. How much was the booty band?
The booty band was
$14.99. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But keep in mind, like, you're paying for
yeah,
the
of course,
cost
your
of
cost,
goods. But...
It's, yeah, it's not $15 million in profit, of course. But there's a nice profit in there somewhere.
There's a nice profit in there, and we had
yeah.
zero employees. So
wow.
that's when we began sampling for Bloom Nutrition, which is now our giant baby.
So did you package every one and ship those bands yourself?
Of the 900.
Oh, after that, you got it. Okay, automated.
We were like, we're never doing this again.
Oh, okay. Well, talk about that real quick. So I love the hustle and I love the grind, but we also spent the first half of the interview talking about mental health and taking care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
What advice do you have? Because it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You go, okay, I want to start a business.
Yeah.
Well, you better work your ass off and be thinking about it 24/7 in order for it to succeed, right?
Yeah.
But then you got your mental health and physical health over here.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I got to devote time to that, but I want the business to be successful too. Like,
yeah.
How does that work?
So,
you
such
any
a
advice?
Good point. Yeah. Great point. It has been an ongoing journey for me even to right now,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. But I would say the things that made it possible were, one, fitness. Like the business revolved around fitness. So if I wasn't, if I wasn't working out, it, you know, I didn't have content. I didn't have a way to promote the booty band. I didn't have a way to promote the workout guide.
Oh, that's a good point.
So they went hand in hand, but also having Greg, mm-hmm. I think really helped balance things out. We were working as a team mm-hmm. and he knew how important my mental health was. So I was still doing therapy, still going to the gym, taking care of myself. And also I would say when your work is your purpose mm-hmm. and it makes you feel fulfilled on like a deep spiritual level, mm-hmm. it helps with your overall, do you know what I mean?
100%.
Your overall health. Like, you know, it was great that I got to focus on health and fitness for 9 months, but I needed something more. And this was like bringing me so much joy to see other women's journeys and success stories using the products. It brought me a sense of fulfillment that I think I could have never have achieved on my own.
You are so right. So I've been doing YouTube for like 5 years, right? But I had a regular corporate job that could not have been more boring or further from this world. I worked for a Fortune 500 company and I sold kitchen equipment to grocery stores.
Wow.
I fucking hated it. Every morning I would wake up and I would go through bottles of Pepto-Bismol like 3 or 4 a week because my stomach would be so upset in the morning with just the anxiety and the dread of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming up.
Yeah.
And then when I quit 6 months ago to focus on this full time, you know, no more Pepto-Bismol. And my wife says I'm much easier, even though I'm working way more than I did then, which is odd. But you know, it's because I actually like doing this and my mood is much better around the house and I'm easier to deal with.
And it's clearly what you're supposed to be doing. Just hearing a little bit of your story to what you do now and helping all these people watching and listening is pretty awesome.
But what was your... Okay, so we found your purpose, right? It took us a while to get there. It took me a while to get there too, a long time. But when you were at Drexel and when you were coming up, what was the dream? What did you want to be?
I don't know. So I look back on that time and I was like, oh, so I studied design and merchandising, which actually at Drexel was a fantastic.
My sister went to Drexel.
What did she do there?
South Jersey.
That's crazy.
Yeah, shout out Delaware Valley.
What does she do at Drexel?
Well, she went to Drexel.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What does she study?
She was, she studied business. Now she is a stay-at-home mom. She has 3 kids. And
okay.
That's a full time. That's harder than any other job.
I was going to say.
I could name. But so, yeah, she went there. So I know Drexel.
Greg did business at Drexel. I did design and merchandising. And my program was great. Like I learned a ton that I use with Bloom now.
Oh, okay.
So it's been very helpful. But I would say back then, I was so goalless. Like I was okay with being mediocre is what I always say. So I never really kind of had this vision for my future. I just did the best I could and that wasn't great. And I was very focused on my social life and the things that kind of filled that void. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I wanted to be an event planner for a while and then maybe I wanted to be a designer or maybe this, maybe that. But I think the one thing I would say is I never thought that success was meant for me back then. I never envisioned myself being financially successful or, you know, successful in any way.
You know, that is so, and I feel the same way. The person watching this, you know, 20-year-old woman watching this say, who doesn't know what they want to do, who feels lost, what advice do you have for them?
Again?
Who are goalless, that don't know what to do, or even if they deserve success.
Yeah. Firstly, I would say, finding self-love and realizing that you are worthy of success is crucial. Like I think finding my appreciation for my body, my brain, finding the things I'm really good at, all happened within that fitness journey. I think sometimes just committing yourself to one thing, you can really find your true strength. Mm-hmm. I would also say, again, finding your why. And I think a lot of times, your why is in your deepest pain. So the things that you've been through and maybe, you know, struggled with the most and came out on top, the things that mean the most to you that you kind of like tear up when you talk about it or your heart wells when you talk about it, those are the things that fire you up. Focus on that. I think the quote is, we are most powerfully positioned to serve those who we once were. So if you've been through something that's so difficult for you to talk about, or it's like the thing that's most meaningful in your life, maybe that's where you need to move. Maybe you need to help those who are in that position. So I think looking at your life overall and saying, okay, what have I been through and what is my true purpose here and what can I do with that? Because I think what's so nice about today's society, with all the struggles that come with social media,
sure,
we also have the ability to turn anything into a business. We can make money doing anything.
It's
now.
Funny. In the last couple of interviews, my social media guy posted these. I talked about two businesses. Like, as I was talking, I'm like, I totally agree. And one, I'm like, you could literally make a business of being like a unicorn influencer. Like, you're into unicorns.
Yeah.
You draw fucking unicorns on TikTok. You have fucking unicorn hoodies, whatever.
Yeah.
The last interview we were talking was like, you could just be a weed influencer.
Yeah.
Like, you really like smoking weed and getting high. Not that I endorse that, right? But you can, and I don't know, talk about the different strains and, you know, do brand deals with different dispensaries.
Yeah.
Like, it's the crazy, for me, like, my at my age, like, that would be a career. When I was in college, that wasn't even a thought. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't even speak out loud about if those were your hobbies. Like, 100%. Let alone build a business around them.
Yeah.
It is an exciting time. Social media does allow you to really make a business out of anything.
100%. I think now is the moment where no matter what your passion is, you can do something with it. Whether you're like a sewing person or you love cooking or whatever it is,
yep,
you can make a whole career out of that. And I think there's so much freedom in that. And it's so exciting.
So we got the bands. Now,
yeah,
let's go back to business, right? So we got the bands.
Yeah.
We got a ton of money, right? Mm-hmm. We got, we got millions of dollars, let's say, right? Somewhere. So why not just, you know, you could have just kept making bands forever, but you started to get into supplements at the time, right? And I read that you went in GNC and it was like, there's nothing really. And I know, because I've been in GNCs there. It's like, NOS explode and everything's explosions and like, you know, male dominated advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it looked like to a woman going in a GNC back then?
Yes. 2017, everything was exploding. Everything was yellow and black and red. And it was like extreme creatine or whatever. So I was like, oh, my gosh. And I go in and try to find something that works for me, bring it home. And Greg's like, oh, no, no, no. You're returning that. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a big difference between fitness and wellness. I think it's possible for someone to be shredded with a six pack
and die of a heart attack tomorrow because of the crap they have in their body.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm someone who's always been very ingredient conscious and very aware of what I'm putting in my body. I think because of my mental health issues, I don't want to be taking too much caffeine. I don't want to be putting crap in my body that's going to like make me feel like, you know, my mood's up and down. So going in a GNC, I was really disheartened by all of the ingredients and all of like the marketing in there. I felt like I wasn't really welcome in a place like that, you know? So I wanted to create something that was for a woman like me. I wanted to create something that was approachable. Maybe you're new to fitness. You want to feel like it's easy to incorporate in your lifestyle. It's good for you and it tastes good.
Well, stop right there though.
Yeah.
So you're not the only woman in 2017 to walk into a GNC, see shit exploding, go, this place ain't for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are thousands of women who thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But you actually did something about it. You saw a hole in the market and you decided, hey, I could maybe come up with something that would work on the shelf of a GNC that would make someone like me feel comfortable and it would be good for them at the same time.
Yeah.
So what is it that separates you from the thousands of other people who walked in the GNC that year and thought the same exact thing? What is it about Mari?
I feel like hitting rock bottom and having that experience made me feel like there was nothing to lose.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I had been through the ringer at that point. Nothing could have really gone worse than it did. So I was like, well, what do I have to lose? You know, like
millions of dollars is the answer to that question.
Yes. Which I will say, my husband and I are both pretty, we take risks. Like, okay, neither of us are afraid to take a risk. I don't know where that comes from. Both of us are kind of like, go for it. We're like back up against the wall type people. But to me, the millions of dollars were never ours. They were always like, I didn't even view it that way. You know, and yes, we were able to live a little bit better and move out of my dad's house and get our own place in Colorado. But we were never like spending a ton of money because this was our future in our eyes. And I think both of us knew we would never thrive in regular jobs. Like, Greg was fired from multiple different jobs. I sucked at being an orange. I was at the front desk of Orange Theory making minimum wage. literally didn't make a single sale. Like, I could not sell the program. I don't know. We're both really bad at being employees. Mm-hmm. So I think we knew that we had to make this work. I think also a lot of people feel like they need a qualification or they need permission to start a business. And Greg and I were like, no one else is doing it. We're going to do it. It was kind of like, if not us, then who?
But I think a lot of people, I'm guilty of that too. You go, I don't really, you talk yourself out of it. At first you have this good idea, then you're like, okay, I don't know anything about supplements.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about distribution. I don't even know how you get on the shelf of a GNC.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better to go direct to consumer and have a website? I don't know. That seems like a lot to think about. Forget it. I'll go back to my job tomorrow.
I think a lot of people have that self-doubt. And I was lucky because I do struggle with self-doubt quite a lot just because of the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. And I had Greg there with me, who is insane and, you know, takes crazy risks. And I was like, well, if you're doing it with me, then we can do it.
Yeah.
So I think both of us just knew, like, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but we have to try. So we started by finding a manufacturer local to us.
Was there a certain product you had in mind to start with?
Yeah. So we started with pre-workout because I really wanted an all-natural pre-workout that wasn't too crazy, didn't give me jitters or that itchy skin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm familiar. So we created 3 all-natural pre-workouts.
Okay.
Pink grapefruit, green apple, and pina colada. And we literally made the labels ourselves. Like, we didn't print them, but we designed them. Back then, we did literally everything. So the pina colada photo on the label, we made. Like, we bought a coconut and stuck a straw in it and a cherry and took the photo. I look back and I'm like, oh my God, what were we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to go through that to get to where we are now, because we were doing all the different jobs. We were doing customer service, labels, social media, website, everything. Like, I was doing the photos, Greg was doing the marketing.
Yeah.
It was insane.
You know, do you know who Kristen Cavallari is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed her and she was telling the same story, but she was in a different position because she was famous, but she's like, I'm answering customer service emails at like 4 a.m. and I'm using a fake name so they don't know it's me. And then eventually you get to the point where you're like, I can't sustain this.
Oh, yeah.
But she said the same thing. She's like, I needed to know every single job, one, so I can hire the right person and know if they're doing a good job or not, but also to understand every piece of the business, you know, because if you don't, you're not going to succeed.
Exactly. And it was a challenging time. Like, it was a period of time where we pretty much didn't leave the house. All we did was Bloom. It was our child, essentially. And it's, you know, it's difficult to be directly involved with customer feedback all day long. Like, when it's your...
It's never good. People are not... Usually it's bad, which is why they're emailing you. Like, this sucks, or it didn't arrive on time. They're not saying, like, you look so beautiful in your picture today. I love your product. You're just the best.
It's generally mean.
Yes.
So that was the first person we hired, was a customer service gal who we still have.
Get out of here.
Her name's Dom and she's an angel. She's like the perfect person for customer service. Now she is head of human resources, head of customer service. She's like a team of 7 girls under her.
Wow.
It's been amazing actually to watch a lot of the young people we've hired. I mean, every one of our team members is pretty much under the age of 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're doing all this at home. So where do you sell it? Like, was there a sales strategy, or do you just go, we're going to have the same website we're selling the bands on? Like, how do you sell? How do you get this to people?
So the bands and the PDF guides were Mari Fitness, and the supplements became their new LLC. So that was Bloom.
Okay.
And our strong suit was converting from social.
Okay.
So we knew we should go direct to consumer, because if I could just do a swipe up link, and back then Bloom was very much reliant on me.
Yeah.
So we basically grew my community and through that got customers for Bloom. And that initial launch we did sold out quickly. So we were like, okay, they like this. We need to do more.
Okay.
So very much reliant on me. I would be promoting it and showing it in my everyday routine because I was using it genuinely every single day. Mm-hmm. It was the product that I wanted for myself. So direct to consumer at first. And we were direct to consumer up until recently, actually. And we have been very successful with that.
Wow. I was thinking about you too, because you are so involved and it is you. But that's not sustainable forever, right?
No.
I was thinking of Jessica Alba when I was thinking of your story. You know, it starts out, Honest Company starts as, oh, Jessica Alba, the actress, has a brand and it's called The Honest Company.
Yeah.
Now you just see that Honest is a trusted brand you see on the shelf of your favorite store.
Mm.
Jessica Alba is not a thought most of the time.
You
think of them kind of almost separate. Is that the goal? I mean, it'll always be your baby. It'll always be your thing. But is the long-term success, is that the way it has to go, where it's kind of its own being?
100%. I think, first of all, we didn't call it Mari Supplement Company.
Yeah, you could have easily done that.
Which, because we wanted it to be separate from me. And within the last, I'd say, year and a half, we have people who know of Bloom and have no idea who I am. Most of the time, actually, now, they know Bloom and not me, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, that was the goal all along. And now that we have a super successful TikTok program, influencer program, insane marketing, and people just genuinely loving the product, it's known for the greens now. Like, greens are what Bloom is known for rather than me.
So you started with the pre-workout. Did you go greens next?
Yeah. So the way it happened is we very much started as kind of like a gym brand because, you know, fitness was my whole life. I'd say as I've evolved and the landscape of health and wellness has evolved, we've kind of moved from that fitness niche to overall wellness and having an overall healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So we hit a point where I was like, okay, I'm not just going to the gym anymore. I'm really living like health is a part of my everyday. I want a product that I can take that has all my fruits and veggies, probiotics, digestive enzymes that tastes really good, but helps me digest and helps with bloat. I think every woman listening can agree bloat is like, everyone deals with it. It's the most annoying thing. We all have it. So I wanted to create a product that had that all-in-one feeling that was really easy to incorporate in my life. So we came up with the greens formula. It took a long time for it to taste good, to get it completely right, because all of those ingredients, like the chlorella, the spirulina, those...
They don't taste great.
Those don't taste great. So trying to get this all-natural formula to taste really good was a challenge, but we finally nailed it. And I remember the first time I tested it out, I brought it on an engagement trip with my husband. I didn't realize I was getting proposed to, but I was. So I had the greens with me. Obviously, we were celebrating, eating, drinking a ton. And I was taking the greens twice a day. And I was like, let's see how these things work. Like, is this really going to help? I was waking up every day, no hangover, no bloat, looking as good as I did at the beginning, at the end.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, this is the product.
You're
like,
sold.
This is it. So we put it out there and people freaking loved it. But we were at this point in our business where, you know, we had employees now, things were costing more money. We didn't have the amount of capital needed to keep enough greens in stock. So we were selling out over and over and over. And people were getting pretty mad, actually.
Yeah.
Because every time we launched, we would have to sell out.
Which sounds like a good problem to have, but it's not always a good problem to have.
No,
yeah.
No. We were getting pretty frustrated because obviously if people, the demand is there, we want to supply the product.
You're losing sales.
Right.
Yeah.
So we kept selling out. And greens, it was one of our restocks. That was the first $1 million day we ever had.
Wow.
And it was actually the day we hired our first creative director. So at this point, we probably had two employees and we had a $1 million day.
Oh my God.
So we're like, I remember I'm training the girl.
And is it you two? There's not a team of investors behind you. It's you guys, right?
Never.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. I remember training this girl and out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing the Shopify sales and I'm going, holy, we just made $1 million in a day. And now I need to teach you how to help me run this business because this is crazy.
Shout out Shopify.
Yeah. Shout out Shopify. No, they've been incredible. But yeah, it was insane.
And then what does the product line look like now?
Greens are our hero SKU. We have.
What does that even mean? Hero SKU? What is that?
Hero
That's
SKU,
your number one seller, I guess. Is that what that means?
I always say that companies need to simplify. I think that simplicity scales. And when you focus on a product that you want to do really well, that's the key to success. So greens have become our hero SKU, our best selling product. It comes in mango, berry, coconut, citrus, and original.
Okay.
So we've really honed in on that flavor. And then we also now have a travel pack size that you can bring on a plane, on a trip, wherever you're going, to the office. So we've kind of really honed in on this greens moment. And now they're all over TikTok. We have a crazy campaign behind them. And now it's insane to just see how far we've come because, you know, we used to die to like get it in someone's hands and please try the greens. And once they had, they kept ordering it, which is, you know, you at the end of the day, you need to have a good product for that to happen.
Of course.
And now we have big influencers and celebrities reaching out asking, you know, can I work with you guys? Because I organically love this product.
What was the biggest one where you just went, are you kidding me? Where you got like starstruck when you got the message?
There's been a few. Kehlani posted it the other day. Stassi Baby's a big fan of it.
Oh, wow.
Jordan Woods is a big fan of it. I remember way back seeing Sarah Hyland in a paparazzi photo drinking it after her workout and being like, oh my God.
Is that the best? You can't buy that kind of press.
I was like, what the heck's going on? So
wow.
It, honestly, just seeing anyone, even just like a normal girl at my gym drinking it makes me so happy. So it's been cool. It's been really cool.
Do you see, like, does that, I think a lot of companies too try to do Volkswagen model because a lot of people don't realize Volkswagen makes Volkswagen, then they make Audi. And they also own Porsche and Bentley. So they have like a car for each income.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, you know, startups or companies try to do that too. It's like, we're going to have everything. So we'll have a male pre-workout. We're going to have a female pre-workout. We're going to have protein. We're going to have this and that. And you take the opposite approach and you go, let's go kind of niche and figure out what our core thing is.
Yeah.
And let's just double down on that. And is that kind of the advice you have for, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
I would say so, because I think it's confusing to the customer when you try to have such a wide variety of product. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, okay, where do I go? What is your specialty? I think specialty is really important. So I think consumers understanding, okay, this is what they do really well is key. Because I personally get confused when I go to a website and there's so many different options. It's like, well, what are you even offering? And it also allows us behind the scenes to make it even better and keep improving and do new versions and kind of fulfill the needs of our customer. We've always been super, super close-knit with our community. We listen to what they want. You know, we read the comments. We check what they're saying. So we really try to fulfill that need where we can.
So business front, you're killing it, but you're also in this world now, right? You're in the podcast world. You're with Dear Media. Mm-hmm. Shout out Bostix. How did you get into the podcasting world? Why bother? You got all this going on over here, right? Who needs another job?
I know. I was kind of wondering that myself. it has been a big undertaking, but it has, again, going back to the purpose conversation.
What's the name of the show first? Let's promote.
It's called The Pursuit of Wellness with Dear Media. If you just look it up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you'll find it. So again, going back to purpose, I've always had this love for connecting and hearing other people's stories. So even just hearing the fact that you have a similar story to me, I find so interesting and I want to learn from people like you and experts in the health field, in the business field. I think having a deeper conversation has always been important to me. And, you know, I've been on social media now, what, like 5 years maybe? Mm-hmm. And there's only so much you can do with this short form content, with the quick clips and the TikToks and the 30-second reels. I can show you my what I eat in a day or a morning routine, but I can't dive into, okay, why do I have this morning?
There's no time.
There's no time, and that people don't really get to know me on a deeper level. And I feel like I have so much more to say. And the show has really allowed me to do that and bring in new people. And I feel like we're all learning together. So that's why I called it The Pursuit of Wellness, because it is a constant pursuit of, you know, learning more and continuing to grow.
You know, it's funny. I wonder if you feel the same way. For me, if I never see you again in my life, we'll follow each other on social and maybe comment or like a picture or something here and there, right? But if I never see you again, there's some kind of lasting connection for the hour we spent together because you literally hear their whole story, right? And sometimes you know more about them now than some of the people closest to them. They'll tell you know, if you're in an interview, people will say things that they don't tell their closest friends for some reason. Like, do you find that, have you found that to be true too since you've been doing the show?
110%. I think one of my favorite things about it is that I have made so many connections and like people I can reach out to if I have a question about something or whatever it is, I've left every interview with a new friend, it feels like.
Yep.
And everyone's so different too, you know? And I've had interviews where I've expected it to go one way and it's gone a complete other way. And I've left having so many realizations about my own life. Mm-hmm. I think it's invaluable.
What advice, just on the learning too, if you're watching this and you're thinking about having a podcast or YouTube channel, I have learned so much, more than I ever learned in school, and you learn from experts, right? I interview Charli D'Amelio, and after the interview, I go, so take a look at my TikTok. What should I be doing? I mean, like, who better to tell you, like, what is that conversation worth?
Yeah.
People would pay tens of thousands of dollars to get Charli D'Amelio's feedback on a TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And even if it never gets to that level, you get to speak to an expert in some kind of field, and you get to learn from the best in the business, and I think even if you never make money at it, even if it never goes anywhere, even if you just maybe do 20 episodes and forget it, I think there's something, it's still worth it.
100%. For me, it's never been about the money. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when you go into things for money, it ends up not working out because you don't truly love it and you're not doing it for the right reasons. For me, it's always been about connecting, spreading the message, and educating myself and the audience at the same time. And I'm already obsessed with it. It's been such a fun journey and a lot of learning. Like it really, and even just sitting here with you and watching you interview and the way you set this up is really beneficial for me. And yeah, it's probably one of my favorite things I've ever done in my career.
It is fun. Do you have any advice? You've been doing it for a little bit now. So is there any advice you have for the person who wants to start a podcast or just starting to now that you learned in your time doing it?
I would say, so we were talking about this before, don't be afraid of a polarizing conversation. And even bringing on a guest that you may not agree with 100%, because I think bringing new perspectives to the conversation and opening up the floor to that disagreement is kind of beneficial. I think we're in a society now where people are afraid to disagree with one another, afraid of like conflicting opinions. But I think it's like really great to listen to people who we may not expect. Like I had Liver King on my show the other day and everyone
that doesn't seem on brand at all.
Everyone was shocked because they were like, yeah, what could you and this caveman possibly be talking about? But honestly, I left the conversation feeling really connected with him. If you listen to the episode, our stories overlap in more ways than you'd expect. Huh. And it was very eye-opening for me. I did have to eat raw testicle on the microphone, but
Do you have video of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta check it out. You said it's on TikTok, right?
I absolutely have video.
Insert picture here. Michael, insert picture here, please.
Yeah, no, I fully ate raw organs. But it was so eye-opening for me, and I think for the audience, just to sit through when you sit through a 45-minute conversation, you leave, I think, surprised 100% of the time, no matter what you think of that person.
Yep. Well, this was a pleasure. I learned a lot. What, any other news with Bloom? We covered Bloom. We called the podcast. What else? Anything else we're promoting?
So Bloom launched in Target just a couple of months ago, and we're already the number one supplement in the vitamin section.
Are you serious? At Target?
At Target.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you. And then I don't know when this comes out, but we launch...
couple weeks.
Okay. We launch in Walmart in about a week or two. So we'll be in Walmart when this comes out.
You're in Walmart and Target?
Yeah.
I mean, that covers basically every city in the country.
Out of my dad's attic to Walmart.
What a great message. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. Let's give away some greens too. I have some greens. I'm excited because the only vegetable I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I have fish and asparagus.
Okay, that's pretty good.
But that's the only vegetable I eat all day.
Yeah, you need some greens.
So I need some greens. So I have some greens. We're going to give away some greens. So subscribe to my weekly newsletter. You'll see the link in the bottom. Every week you get inspiration and business lessons from over 100 interviews I've done. So there's some good stuff in there delivered to your inbox every week. So sign up and we'll give some greens away. So thank you so much, guys. And don't forget to listen to the audio podcast wherever podcasts are available. And of course, subscribe and turn on notifications. New interviews every Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Bye.